Sometime during the late 60s, I encountered the philosophy of a German psychologist named Erich Neumann, in which he talks about the artist and time, meaning lifetime, and how an artist moves through various stages towards greatness. And the first stage, the artist is expressing the self. It can be an expression of the unconscious. It's self-centered and needs to be, because the artist needs to get this self out into the world. In the second stage, the artist is beginning to relate to that world. And so the artistic expression, what they create, deals with largely the immediate world. And in my case with Paul Semple, it was a painting mothers and children, because that was a big part of my life, and New England scenes. In the third stage, the artist becomes a critic of that world. He or she starts to see negatives as well as positives, and it becomes more interested in expressing those. And you get a lot of that in very contemporary art, where young people are talking about racial situation or war or aggression. And in the fourth stage, and Neumann said this usually comes very late in the artist's life, the artist puts those all three together and synthesizes it, and then rises above that to create a transcendent art that has the capacity to be great. At Cornell, I saw myself as being in the third stage, because I became very critical of the social things that were happening in our country around the issue of the black people. Cornell, of course, had a major crisis during that period of time, as Kent State did, and Watts and Detroit, and I was in the thick of that. In fact, I was able to pursue my graduate and undergraduate degree because of that. The final solution by the Cornell administration to the takeover of the black kids in the Willard Straight Hall was that a certain number of blacks who had field experience would be admitted to graduate school without an undergraduate degree. They had to pass the entrance requirements, and they had to indicate that they had succeeded enough in their past life that they stood a good chance of being able to complete the studies. So the day after that was announced in the paper, much like my experience at USC, I found myself in front of the dean of the graduate school, and I put the newspaper on his desk, and I said, if you give them that chance, you have to give it to me. After much hesitation, he did. And I was able to go on and get my master's. I had felt that that probably would be the end of it, and I would then be able to teach art. My committee wouldn't let me stop. They made me go on for the doctorate, and I'm eternally grateful for that wisdom. I took the senior thesis course from Alan D'Arcangelo, who was the visiting artist at Cornell in 1968. He was from New York City, and he was one of the artists like Wesselman and Warhol that were painting very, very large. He walked back and forth behind my easel for a week, and finally he said, Pat, why are you trying to paint like Rembrandt? It's been done before and better than you can ever do it. And I said, well, what would you have me do, Alan? And his answer was, I'd like to see you go large, larger than life. Pick something out that you know very, very well and double it in size. So I went home and I asked my husband if I could do his portrait. And I did this extremely large picture of him, which now hangs in the Hall of Fame at Cornell.